Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
International Women's Day is here again, putting the focus on the inequities between genders in the workplace, from the pay gap to superannuation discrepancies. To ensure the women behind benefit from the women who have come before, we talked to Aware Super CEO Deanne Stewart to talk about her experiences and how she sees things changing for women. Thank you so much for joining me today, Deanne.
Oh, you're welcome, Julia. Lovely to be with you.
Deanne, happy International Women's Day. What does March 8 mean to you?
Oh, International Women's Day, I just think it's such a special day. It allows us to really, I think, celebrate and really acknowledge the amazing achievements that many women right across our society, whether it be in the community, in business, in politics, are really achieving and the contribution that they make. Certainly, I know from an Aware Super perspective, we sponsor the New South Wales Woman of the Year Awards, and you just see some of the most amazing women in these different categories, whether it be across the community, whether it be young women coming through, or indeed the overall New South Wales Woman of the Year Award. Last year, it was Dr. Kerry Chant, and you just think about what an incredible woman she is, what she has done right through COVID, how she's just quietly gone about it and had such a positive impact. So for me, that's the main part of it. But I also think it also is a moment to reflect and think about the gap that is still there and what needs to be done and to really put a focus and a spotlight on that as well.
And Deanne, I guess a lot of your members are women who have worked in the essential services and probably are a little bit behind in the pay gap and the inequities. Does that make you feel like you want to work harder for them?
Absolutely. You're so right. So two-thirds of our members are women, and many of them in just such essential roles, whether that be in teaching, in nursing, in aged care, in childcare, really important roles. And I think that if there's one thing that COVID has certainly taught us, it's just how important those roles are, but indeed how often undervalued those roles are. And I think that being an advocate for them, really making sure that we're doing our utmost to both be an advocate, but make sure with the dollars that they do have that they're going to the very best to help them with their futures. It's something that I know the team feels very passionate about.
That's terrific. Now, you yourself have had over 20 years in the financial services industry, and now you're running one of these largest super funds in Australia. Would you say that you have had to work harder as a woman to achieve what you've achieved?
It's hard when you're trying to personalize it to say, do I feel like I've had to work harder? I think I am a hard worker. and I think that has certainly contributed to what I've been able to do. I think it goes without saying that there is still significant bias that is there, and that in many industries, including the finance industry, you need to work hard to overcome some of those biases. And in fact, that is the International Women's Day theme for this year, which is breaking the bias. And we all have them. We all have them. And I think that awareness of the different sorts of biases that you have are really important. Do I think that I've faced into that over the years? Yes, I do. But I also think I've had some incredible mentors and supporters along the way, both female and males. What I would say, though, is clearly at a broader level, it exists. And the stats don't lie. You know, you look at it and you say, how can it be that there is we are number one in the world for women in being educated and coming out with really high education degrees, yet we're number 70 when it comes to women's economic participation? Like that gap just speaks volumes. And then you say, how is it that only 5% of the ASX 200 CEOs are women? So there's no doubt that while I think we've come a long way and you're seeing such positive momentum, and it really does feel like there's a moment at the moment that we really need to seize upon, the gap is massive and certainly needs to be closed.
Yeah, I think, you know, looking at the biases, we all do have them. And I realized a few years ago, I was much harder on women bosses than I was on men. I just expected more from them, you know, and I think that's when you're in the minority, you're expecting, you know, that you have to be that great role model and you just expect that little bit more. So I've tried to change that balance for myself.
And I think you're so right, Julia. And I think the thing about biases, and I love this being a theme, is that it's so subconscious. And if you look at what's happening at the moment and these incredible young women speaking out, they are actually speaking up against the cultural dynamics and the biases that are inherently there that are much harder to move than just policies and procedures. And just to make you feel better, I got called upon a bias that I had the other day. My daughter called me out on it, where we were talking about this incredibly wealthy family that is, you know, has obviously a lot of wealth. And I think I said something like, oh, God, I wonder how he made his wealth or something like that. And my daughter went, Mum, you just said he. And I was like, oh, you're like, how did I do that with everything that I do and how I support women? But you're right, that they are there. They are very inherent and very embedded in our culture.
So in your time in the workforce, have you seen much change in terms of gender balance and treatment in the workforce?
I have. I absolutely have. And I really do think that we are seeing some pretty significant progress, with a huge caveat that there is so much more to be done, right? But if I think about sort of the amount of amazing senior women I'm seeing come through in a business context, what you're seeing in legal professions, what you're seeing in the sporting professions, you're just seeing these amazing women take on many more of these really senior roles. So I certainly see that. I think you see them in the numbers of things like boards. So you've got so many more of the ASX companies now with 30% plus women on their boards. And it does take not just having one token female, it does take having at least 30% plus, is all what the research shows, to have that critical change in culture and balance. So I think you're certainly seeing that. You're seeing it in bucket loads in the sporting professions. I'm just loving seeing our amazing women shine in so many different ways, as well as get the media as well, which I think is important. Media, salaries, and the attention. And the last thing I would say that I think we're seeing with the gender imbalance is much more conversations that enough is enough on things like sexual harassment, etc., and really calling that out. And companies now really fessing up and owning up to that. Lots more to be done. And, you know, I think that certainly what we've seen in things like, for example, Rio's latest report, where they've come forward on the degree of bullying and sexual harassment, you can look on the one hand about, oh my God, the fact that 50% of the workforce say that they're being bullied or harassed in some shape or form, as quite a negative. I think it's such a token of what's going on more broadly in the Australian society and culture. But on the other hand, I look at it as the optimist that I am and say, well, at least now that is in black and white. They're being transparent, they're being open, and they're wanting to address it. So I see a lot more of that coming in. You know, we've got a long way to go, though, back to that 5% of women being really underrepresented in politics in all shapes and forms of different aspects of society. So still a gap to go.
At Aware Super, we want to help you retire with more, so we always focus on delivering strong long-term returns. Over the past 10 years, we've delivered an average annual return of more than 11%. You can do well and do good with Aware Super, Money Magazine's innovation investment leader for 2022. Before deciding if this is right for you, consider the PDS and TMD on the website. Investment returns as at 31 December 2021. Past performance is not an indicator of future performance and should not be the sole factor considered. Issued by Aware Super Proprietary Limited.
So looking at your own workforce, your membership and your daughters, is there far to go to help them achieve their career and financial goals, do you think? And what lessons might you give to your daughters to help them?
Yeah, well, certainly if I take our workforce first. And I would certainly say from an Aware Super perspective, it's something that I feel really proud about and really positive about. If you look at our board, it's very balanced from a gender perspective. If you look at our executive team, it's very balanced from a gender perspective. And I think that that really flows throughout our organisation. We work really hard at that. We really make sure that aspects like flexibility, parental leave, but also the culture, you know, has a really lovely balance of that, what you'd call typical masculine traits around ambition and drive, but also that care and empathy and compassion. And it's something that I think I feel really proud about. I think lessons learned from it is that the tone from the top really matters, that if you actually get leadership and the tone from the top, a lot of other things follow. It isn't just about policies and procedures. People really pay attention to what's going on up the food chain. So that for me is a really big thing. But so too is the importance of things like flexibility as part of the equation to really solving this, as well as really addressing where some of these gaps come from, like the cultural view on parental leave. And so that's something that we've really spoken about to make sure that both males and females in our organisation feel really supported to take that leave, to really be with their families, to actually have a full rounded life, because in that way, they can bring the best to the job. So there's some of the things that, you know, I'm really proud of having a really positive influence on already a pretty amazing culture. As it relates to my daughter, yeah, there's probably a couple of things that I reinforce and, by the way, so do not get it right, as I'm being constantly reminded by my teenage daughter. But a couple of things that I think, oh, okay, you know, as a mum, I have been able to instill that in her because I can see it in what she's saying back to me. One is right from day dot, I was determined to make her feel the importance of STEM. So, you know, just even from when she was 4 or 5 years of age doing sums, and I was like, you're so good at maths, you're amazing at maths, and just instilling that confidence and belief in her. And that's carried through, right? She's now in year 11, and I can see her feeling incredibly confident about how she feels about science and maths. And so, you know, most of that is her, but I'd like to feel that I had a bit of positive impact. Making sure that our daughters have that real confidence and resilience as well, because they are so important in helping them into their future. And then finally, for me, the other thing that even now I'm trying to instill in her is financial independence. No matter what happens to you in your future, being able to be financially independent is so important, because life throws at you highs and lows. And you need to know that no matter what happens, you can be on your own two feet and really, you know, really stand up for yourself. So they're probably my biggest lessons for her.
Oh, and they're hugely important. And I guess that leads to how important is it to make sure that your membership is also very financially literate and aware of what their possibilities are? And do you encourage, you know, the women in the workforce to step up to promotions and so on?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's great that you asked that question, because I think, first of all, to really support our members, we need to make sure that our own backyard is doing well. And so I certainly do start there in terms of really making sure that we've got a really positive culture that supports both males and females to really develop, grow and thrive in the organisation. And by the way, I don't think we get it right all the time. You know, we're certainly quite ambitious and trying to get a lot done. So it is not to say that we don't fall back at times or do things that aren't supportive. But I think on the whole, our real focus on promoting, supporting and training amazing women to come through as leaders around real flexibility and being very genuine with that and letting people flex in their lives. And clearly that's been accelerated through this COVID period, but also really supportive policies and that side of things as well. So that's certainly what we've done in our own backyard. But then in terms of for our members, you know, for me, I remember one of the research pieces we did last year, which just, it speaks volumes to me, where we researched both men and women about their confidence in retirement. And 44% of women said, I am not confident about my future or the finances into my future. Whereas for men, that was around 22%. So twice as many women didn't feel confident about their future. So for us, certainly what we're doing in the education and advice space is really critical, and both making sure that we're there for our members, that we're constantly letting them know that we're speaking the voice of both females and males so that they know where to go for help, but also running quite tailored sessions for women are some of the things that we're doing. And then finally, advocacy. And certainly we're incredibly pleased to see some of the things that have come through over this past year, which the government has been supportive of, like eliminating that $450 threshold, as well as in the, you know, allowing where there's disputes from a family separation or divorce, being able to look through into the ATO. They are important aspects. Now, they're not getting to necessarily the root cause of what's creating it way back when, but they are at least remedies to some of the things occurring. And certainly advocating for our members on that front is really important. Probably last, yeah. I would say, Julia, in terms of work still to be done, though, when you look at it and you say, well, where does all these gaps come from in the first place? You know, there's a couple of really key things. First of all, you look at the roles that women are going into. They are really undervalued in many different caring roles, really two lower percentages into STEM. So fundamentally, it's starting there. And then the superannuation gap is certainly then increasing quite dramatically around the time childbearing age. And so really making sure that SG is paid on parental leave, making sure that parental leave culturally becomes something that both women and men do in society. And then finally, later on, really being able to make sure that if there is a gap there, that they're able to close that. They're aspects that I think go much more to the root cause.
And do you see a lot of your members taking up remedies such as salary sacrificing and actually managing their investments within their super funds and any other ways of building their wealth?
Yeah, we definitely see where they possibly can. We're seeing it. I think we have one of the highest percentages of members that actually do top up, you know, in terms of salary sacrifice, voluntary contributions, certainly one of the highest percentage of members that stay with us till retirement. And I think a big part of that is the education, guidance and advice that we do provide, and that they feel that they can really trust the organisation. At the moment, over this last year, Julie, we have had record numbers attending our seminars, webinars, asking for advice. So being able to know that that's something that we really stand for is a really big part of it. And we've been very loud and advocated in the whole retirement income covenant that it isn't just about the product and the product solution, that for many, and particularly women that feel less confident about their future and about retirement, it's about the guidance and advice that they get as well to make sure that they're making the most of the dollars that they are earning.
Absolutely. We've also found that people are much more focused on their finances post-COVID. I think at the beginning, there was a lot of fear that people might lose their jobs. And there was that, where am I? What do I need? But then it's kind of turned into more of a, do I want to be doing what I'm doing right now? And, you know, that, can I make a change? So everybody's been quite engaged. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time and your expertise today, Deanne. It's been lovely talking to you.
You're welcome, Julia. Thanks very much.
Happy International Women's Day.
You too.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.